I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are so thankful for a great week of Vacation Bible School, and we praise the Lord for it. This morning we're going to get back to our series of messages, Stewarding Life. And we need to understand today that life is a gift from God. Everything that we have is a gift from God. The reality is that we don't own anything. We are just to be stewards of what God has placed into our care, good managers of what God has given us. We spent a little time the last couple of weeks talking about stewarding our life itself, that it's a gift from God, and we had to use this life for His glory. We also talked a little bit last week about using our time for the glory of God, and that's really what life is made of, is our time, how we use the moments of every day. And every day, God gives us a new set of hours, minutes, seconds, about 86,400 seconds every day that you have to invest in the work of God. And we can squander our lives. We can squander our time. We can squander any of the resources God gives us. We can spend it or we can steward it, which the idea would be that we would invest it back into something that would get gains. And that's what we want to do. We want to invest our lives, our time, our talents, our treasure, our health, our family, every resource relationship that God gives us. We want to steward it, invest it back into His kingdom, where it will yield eternal dividends. And let me tell you something. We had a great week of Bible school, and some of you worked really, really hard, and some of you are tired this morning, but I want you to know that you made an eternal investment in some young people's lives last week. We invested in them the Word of God. And you say, well, you know, the decorations and all the other silly stuff that we do, it doesn't really matter. Well, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I know this, the kids came, they had a good time, and they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And several of them responded to the gospel in faith in Christ. And others had the Word of God implanted in their life. That seed was planted. We pray that it will grow up and bear fruit to the glory of God. So it's an internal investment. It'll have an impact. And some of you that are here today can remember Vacation Bible School when you were younger. You can remember the impact it had on your life. And what a joy to get to have that investment. So we want to make an investment. And we can use everything to the glory of God. I want to tell you, this morning's message is a little bit different, because today we're going to talk about stewarding our health. Now, I am not a medical doctor. But I did stay at a Holiday Inn one time, so it's almost as good. I'm not a medical doctor, but I do know a little bit about what the Word of God has to say about our health. And you might be surprised to know that the Bible has a lot to say about our health. The Bible has a lot to say about what we eat, how we exercise. The Bible has a lot to say about taking care of our bodies and our health. And some of you may not like to hear it today. I may not really like to preach it today, but it's the Word of God and we need to hear it, because God has given us our life, and part of that is stewarding our health, and we need to be good stewards of our health. All right, well, maybe a few more of you will be convinced by the time we get done. They surveyed a group of people, and three quarters of them said they would take a pill that would guarantee that they would achieve or maintain their desired weight, even if that pill caused them to lower their life expectancy. If I could take a pill that would make me my ideal weight and keep me there, I'd take it, even if it took life from me. They said, on average, most of them said they were willing to trade 5.7 years to maintain their right weight. Isn't that good? That's not good. Some of you are thinking about it. 4 years. I'd give up 4 years if I could. But that's the way we are. People don't value their life. And let me help you out. Generally speaking, and we know anything can happen, our life is in the hand of God. But generally speaking, if you have good health, you'll live longer. And generally speaking, if you had bad health, you will take time off your life. And guess what? Your health is really in your hands. Oh, some of you thought it was your mama's fault. Genetics. It's genetics' fault. Some of you guys want to blame your wife. If my wife wasn't such a good cook, I'd be in better shape. Amen. And any of you guys that had any sense would have amen just then. What's wrong with you? I'm trying to help you today. Listen, and we can blame it on environment. We can blame it. Hey, you can blame it on the government if you want to. It's their fault. But at the end of the day, our health is in our hands to steward wisely for the glory of God. I know that some of you aren't going to appreciate this message today, and some of you are going to be a little uncomfortable about it. I'm not up here trying to lay judgment or blame. I want to tell you today that we all need to steward our health better for the glory of God. We all need to do better, because this body, if you're born again, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. It's not yours. People want to say today, it's my body. I can do what I want to with it. But if you're a born-again Christian, it's not your body. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to treat it as such. All right, all that said, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to start reading at verse 14, if you would please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all who have come. And Lord, we pray that you would bless your holy word today, convict our hearts. Lord, give us a burden to do better as stewards of our life, of our time, of the temple of God, our body. And Lord, please convict our hearts today. Give us the strength that we need, the self-control that we need, the motivation, godly, biblical motivation we need to steward our health in a better way. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us where we fail you. Pray that you convict hearts today. And Lord, we know that taking care of our bodies is important, but so much more important is to take care of our soul. And I pray that if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl here today who's never been born again, that they would repent and trust the Savior today. Lord, I pray for all who are saved, that they'd follow you in baptism and serve you faithfully in the church, and that you would get all the glory. Father, please help me now, for I'm nothing without you. Please bless your word. May it convict our hearts. May it find good ground where the seed can be planted today and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Before we talk too much about our health, I want you to see how God ties this all together. As the Apostle Paul finishes his letter, he's wrapping up his letter to the church at Thessalonica. This church was a great church. If you ever study about the church at Thessalonica, these people, when the gospel came to them, they heard the word of God. They believed the word of God. Paul said, when you receive the word of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. These people started preaching the gospel everywhere they went. Paul said, I don't have to go around where you're at and tell anybody, because the word of God has sounded forth from you. And this was an effective church. It was a great church that was proclaiming the gospel, and their lives had been changed. And as he comes to the conclusion, look there at verse 23, he said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your God, your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before that, he really starts kind of closing out the letter back at verse 14. But I want you to get this. It all goes together. If you are right with the Lord spiritually, it's going to affect you mentally. Amen. If you're not right with the Lord spiritually, it's going to affect you mentally. Amen. If your mind's not right, your heart won't be right. And if your heart and your mind aren't right, your body won't be right either. And somebody could say, well, I know some people who are really fit physically, but if they're not fit spiritually, then what good is it? Do you see how it all goes together? It all goes together. And the reality is, I'm not saying that you need to be in Olympic shape. If you're a real Christian, you're going to be an Olympian. I am saying, though, that we're going to steward our health wisely if we are right with the Lord, mentally and spiritually. See, it all goes together. Paul said, I want everything about you to be right with God when he comes again. You see, there's a distinction here. Your whole spirit, the spirit is pneuma. It literally means a breath or a current of air. It's your rational soul, your vital principle. When we talk about somebody's soul being saved and going to heaven, what we're really talking about is their spirit. This is the same word, pneuma, that's used to describe the Holy Spirit of God. This is the spiritual part of man. When you're born again, this is the part of you that becomes alive. This is the part of you when you die that goes to be with Jesus. Is everybody with me today? There's a distinction between your spirit and your soul, though. We often talk about people's soul when we're really talking about their spirit. The word soul is a different word. It's psuche. It's the word we get psychiatry from. This has to do with our mind, our consciousness. And it's different. It too has that idea of wind or breath. It's something on the inside. It's not something tangible. You can't grab a hold of somebody's spirit. You can't grab a hold of somebody's soul. It's something else. It exists outside of the physical realm. But this is different than pneuma. It's not our immortal soul, but it's our life. It's our vitality. And many times in Scripture, psuche is translated as life or heart or mind. You guys with me still? A little too technical for you today? Some of you look like it's Monday morning. I said we're going to talk about health today. Some of you got depressed. But I need you to understand that there's different parts of us. See, God is a Trinity, and I believe that he made us as a triune being. And so he gave us our spirit. He gave us our psuche, our soul, or our mind, and he gave us our body. He gave us our body. We all have a body. If you have a body, say amen. Yeah, we're all here today, right? And so he's given us these different parts. And Paul wasn't just concerned that your spirit be right with the Lord. He said, I want your spirit to be blameless before God. I want your spirit to be right. But he wasn't satisfied with that. He said, I want your soul, I want your mind to be right with the Lord when he comes again. But it wasn't just that. He said, I want your body to be blameless when the Lord comes again. You see, friends, when we sin, we can sin in our mind, but we often sin with our body. We sin with our hands. We sin with our eyes. We sin with our feet. We sin with our mouth. And so he says, I want you to use every part of your being to the glory of God. I want all of it to be preserved blameless. And so very quickly, if you'll back up, I want you to know that our actions affect every part of our being. And if we're going to have good health, we've got to have good actions. He says we need to do good to others. Back in verse 14, he says, we exhort you, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. He said, don't render evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. We need to warn those that aren't living right. We need to have a right heart towards them. We need to comfort those that are feeble-minded. Now, feeble-minded, we might like it better if it said faint-hearted. It's the same thing. We want to comfort those who are down and discouraged. We want to support those that are weak. We want to be patient, long-suffering to everyone. And we want to follow or ensue or press toward that which is good, even when we're responding to evil. Did you know that how you treat other people has a tremendous impact on your overall health? Did you know that how you respond to people treating you badly has a tremendous impact on your overall health? Did you know that when somebody did you wrong and you stay mad at them and you get a root of bitterness in you and you're angry and unforgiving, that hurts you worse than it hurts anybody? Man, it's like a cancer inside of you. He says you need to do good to everybody. He said, don't render evil for evil, but do good to all men. And friends, our actions are going to affect our health. It's all tied together right here. If this is going to keep us blameless in our spirit, our soul, and our body by having the right kind of actions, doing good to other people. By the way, we don't do good for goodness' sake. We do good for God's sake. We do good to the glory of God. When you do good to others, you don't do it in your own name. You don't even do it in the name of the church. You do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names. Listen, friends, when we do good to others, we do it for His glory. Amen? Amen? Listen, if you're doing good apart from God, it's really not good at all. Our own works, our own righteousness are worthless, but when we do good in the name of Jesus, that will never be forgotten by God. So our actions, our attitudes affect our health. Look at verse 16. By the way, if you guys are looking for some memory verses, there's some really good ones right here. Amen. It's on Daryl's level right here. Amen. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. And then he says, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And then he says in verse 18, in everything give thanks. So look at those three verses together, if you would. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Friends, this has to do with our attitude. We ought to be joyful people. And by the way, if you go back to the other verses, if you're doing good and you're responding to evil in the right way and you're following peace and goodness with all people, guess what? Your actions are right. It's going to affect your attitude. If you're living right, it's a lot easier to be happy in the Lord. You see, a lot of Christians are not very happy because they're living in sin. And there's nobody more miserable than a Christian who's living in sin. But I've got news for you. If you repent and begin to do good, you can rejoice. Listen, none of us are perfect, and none of us are ever going to put our head on our pillow at night and say, man, I did perfect today. I didn't mess up at all. If you do that, you're deceiving yourself. But you can put your head on your pillow at night and say, Lord, I know I wasn't perfect. I know I messed up, but I tried to do your will today. By your grace, I was able to do good, to be obedient today. Man, isn't that sweet? There's no sweeter, softer pillow than a clear conscience. Not perfect, we're not sinless, but Lord, when I got angry, I started to get angry and I almost said something I shouldn't, but by your grace, you stopped me and I didn't say what I was thinking, and I know I shouldn't have thought it in the first place, but thank you for helping me not to say it. And we can start to do right, and when that happens, our attitude changes. We start to rejoice evermore. I love it. You guys want to know what this means? It means to rejoice evermore. You guys know I like to define terms. I love it when the term defines itself. It means rejoice forever. It means keep on rejoicing. It means don't stop rejoicing. This rejoicing is awesome and it's great. It literally means to be full of cheer. See, here's how messed up we are. How many of you get around people who are really, really happy and you find them to be annoying? Some of you lying right now. I mean, you get around those people and they get up in the morning, they're bouncing around, they're all happy and everything's good and nothing goes wrong and they're just, man, they're excited about everything and everything's good and everything's happy. Now, I get it. Some of those people are fake and you can see that it's fake, but I'm talking about somebody who has real joy deep down in their soul and you get around them and you're like, I need about 3 more cups of coffee before I get around you. Anybody? Okay. Just checking. I'm talking about being full of cheer, and I'm not talking about just being happy because you had a donut for breakfast. I'm talking about being happy because God is good. I'm talking about being rejoicing because God has saved your soul and you have eternal life because He's using Him to serve you, and we ought to rejoice at all times. It literally means, evermore means at all times. So what about if I'm having a bad day? Rejoice. What if somebody in my family I love dies? Rejoice. Listen, we ought to rejoice in every circumstances. You say, how can you do that? That's crazy. What if somebody hates me and somebody just cussed me out? Rejoice. Because our circumstances don't matter when you have Christ in your heart. When you're living for Him and His purposes. So we rejoice. We pray without ceasing. Friends, if some of us would get this, it would change everything about our lives. Never stop praying. If you don't think prayer has an impact on your health, you're crazy. Even unbelievers, even secular scientists have done many studies and seen positive effects from prayer in sick people. They've studied cancer patients, the ones who pray and have people praying for them and how much better they do. And even people who don't believe in God know that prayer works. Well, how much more should we know it and believe it? And pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. This is one of those hard things for me. I heard a message one time and the pastor said that we should be thankful for everything. And I'm not sure that we ought to be thankful for everything. We ought to understand that God's sovereign, and no matter what happens, if it happens to you, it's Father filtered. If some tragedy befalls you and your family, God allowed that to happen. Or it may be that God caused that to happen. God's sovereign over everything. And I don't know necessarily if somebody you love gets murdered that you need to be thankful that they got murdered, but you can still be thankful to God in the midst of that tragedy. Does everybody see the difference? And some bad things happen to good people. Bad things are going to happen in your life. How you respond to that makes all the difference in the world. I've heard so many messages of men of God today that have gone through awful tragedy. I told you a couple of months ago about a pastor whose two-year-old little girl was killed in a car wreck. And just listening to him talk about it was gut-wrenching. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. But man, he responded in faith. He responded in trusting God. And God has blessed his ministry tremendously. Listen to a man just this past week whose 20-year-old daughter was killed just a while back in an ATV accident. Her and her fiance both killed. And it was just, I mean, just hard to listen to and heartbreaking to think about. But how he responded in faith. His daughter and her fiance, they were out riding with a married couple and they were on their way back to the house. It was a Sunday afternoon. He said there was no storm that day, no wind that day, no lightning that day, nothing like that. But they're riding and a big tree fell right on top of them. They think they're going about 45 miles an hour. It didn't fall in front of them. It didn't fall behind them. It fell directly on top of them. And the newspaper covered it, said it was a freak accident. And he said, that's not a freak accident. That was an appointment from God. God did that. And this man knows that God did that, but he responded in faith. And today he gives thanks. And even though it was a terrible tragedy, and even though it was hard to live through, he was able to write a gospel track using his daughter and her fiance in that gospel track. And he said, I've personally led hundreds of people to Christ because of this terrible thing that happened. Friend, that's giving thanks in everything. Most of us ought to thank God today that we haven't had tragedies like that in our lives. But we have a hard time giving thanks when the hot water heater breaks. Or we have a flat tire. Or we got a little tickle in our throat. Some of you fellas are like me and you're kind of wimpy. Say amen, Brian Hyatt. You know, your wife has strep throat for 3 weeks and won't go to the doctor, and we get a little scratch in our throat, and we're like, honey, I think I'm coming down. I need to go sit down in my chair for a while. Amen. See, I know. Not all of you guys are like that. Some of you cut your arm half off and you keep, you know, just put some duct tape on it and keep finishing work. I'm just saying we need to learn to be thankful in everything. Our actions and our attitude affect every aspect of our being, and it affects our health. I want to tell you, our aspirations will affect everything too. Look very quickly at verse 19. He says, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. That means to test or to try them and hold fast that which is good. By the way, everything isn't good. Everything you hear in a message, preaching is not good. Everything you see on TV is not good. Everything you read in a book is not good. Everything you hear on Christian radio isn't good. You need to prove or test or try all things and hang on to that which is good. Somebody told me reading commentaries is like eating fish. You got to eat the fish and spit out the bones. Right? Listen, when you read a book or watch listen to a sermon on a podcast, or you listen to a sermon right here, you better try everything, test everything, not according to your own ideas, but according to the Word of God, and hold on to that which is good. We've got to do that. What is our aspirations? He says, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Listen, what this is aspiring to have a holy life, aspiring to be Christ-like, aspiring for the things of God. I don't want to quench the spirit. I don't want to put out the fire of God that is in me. I want to let it burn. I want to walk in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and do what the Spirit of God wants me to do. I want to follow Him and live for Him. And I want His light to shine in my life. So when He convicts me, I don't want to quench that. When He prompts me to go somewhere to do something, I don't want to put that fire out. I want to let that fire burn. What are we aspiring to? Most of us want to do what we want to do. Especially when it comes to our health. But I'm telling you today, we need to start aspiring for the things of God. Don't quench the Spirit of God. He is going to convict you. He is going to teach you. He is going to guide you. He is going to comfort you. And if you are putting Him out, you are not helping yourself. We want to follow Him to do what God wants us to do. We need to despise not prophesying. Prophecy is the revealed word of God. Now, there are not men today. You can go ahead and mark this down. You got questions, I'll talk to you about it later. If a man stands up today and he gives a prophecy, some kind of revelation that's outside of the Word of God, he's a liar. Let me say it one more time. I will say it as clearly as I can, because I know some of you come from different backgrounds, and I just want you to be warned today. If it's outside of the Word of God, it's not truth. We have the revealed Word of God, and we shouldn't despise the truth of the Word of God. Man, we ought to love the Word of God. It shouldn't be when you get up on Sunday morning, come on, kids, we have to go to church. It ought to be, come on, kids, we get to go to church. It shouldn't be. Now you have to read your Bible. You have to do this. It's something you got to do. No, we get to read the Bible. We get to study the Word of God. It's a joy for us to get in the Word of God. It shouldn't be burdensome or grievous to us. It ought to be a joy. I get to read the Word of God. I get to see what God has to say. God speaks to me through His Word every day. The God of heaven has given us His Word, and we shouldn't despise it. We ought to love it. Some of you, it's a chore to read your Bible. It shouldn't be that way. Just like prayer will affect your health and every part of your being, the Word of God will affect your heart, your mind, and your body. The Word of God will affect your life. How many of you ever come to church even though you don't want to? Put your hand up. Don't lie. How many of you, when you leave, after you showed up, I didn't want to come, I didn't feel like it, I didn't want to be there, had other stuff I'd rather do, I didn't even want to get out of bed, but I came anyway. How many of you, when you leave, you're really glad you came? You feel better. It's amazing. It's amazing how the Word of God will change our attitudes. It'll change our actions. It'll change our heart and our mind. It'll change our body. We'll feel better. I'm amazed sometimes. This may sound kind of hokey to some of you, but I'm telling you, there's been times when I felt lousy. Maybe I'm sore all over and achy and just felt terrible. And I'm sitting in my office thinking, I don't even feel like getting up to preach. And I get up here and I'm hurting. And I'm telling you, by the time I get done, I feel great. I mean, that's the grace of God. That's what God's Word does. Don't hate the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Man, today it's gotten so easy. I told you, I keep telling you, I listen to these messages. You know how I do that? I do it on my phone. I put my little earbuds in. I'm mowing the yard. I'm listening to preaching. I put my little earbuds in. I'm driving down the road. I'm listening to preaching. You know you can listen to good preaching anywhere and everywhere today? Man, it's awesome. It's awesome how available the Word of God is for us today. You say, I can't find any good preaching to listen to. I've got three different Bible apps on my phone. I can just listen to Scripture. I don't have to read it while I'm driving down the road. That's dangerous, by the way. There's no law against reading your Bible and driving, but it's not a good idea. Okay, that was a joke. It's called distracted driving, and that is against the law. They thought they had to have a specific law against texting and driving. They already had a law. It's called distracted driving. You don't do that. Okay, I've lost everybody. That was awesome. I can put my earbuds in, and I can pull up my Bible app, and I can pull up any passage of Scripture and hit play, and it's somebody reading the Word of God. It's awesome. I'm just telling you, the availability of the Word of God and the ways that you can get it. Some of you are like, I don't read very well. Oh, just get one of those and they'll read it to you. I mean, the availability of the Word of God today, and we ought to despise it, we ought to love it. It'll affect every part of our lives, every part of our being. Test that which is good and hold fast, keep, possess, retain what is good. And then he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Not only should we not do what's evil, we should not do what looks evil. I'd like to take a long time and spend some time with you the things that look evil, but I don't think I really have to because we know. You know what looks evil because you judge other people for it all the time. We make judgment calls, we drive by, we see a group of people doing something, we go, that doesn't look good. How many of you like to drink root beer? I love root beer, but I like the good stuff. It comes in glass bottles. Problem is, it looks exactly like real beer. I got a kick years ago when I worked for my dad, and I used to buy Stewart's root beer in a glass bottle. Anybody ever had that? Amen. Man, that's good stuff. Some of you sad people with your IBC and all the rest of it, that's okay. But Stewart's, man, that is good stuff. I had to quit drinking it, though. You know why? Because I had one of those bottles sitting on my desk at work, and one of the guys walked by my office, and he almost broke his neck trying to do a double take. The good thing is, he said, I couldn't believe. He said, I thought it was beer. He said, I couldn't believe that you would have beer. And I thought, that's good. I said, it is, but it's root beer. But I quit drinking it in public. Now, I only drink it at home. I don't drink root beer in a glass bottle that looks like a beer bottle in public anymore. Because I don't want to even look like I'm drinking alcohol. I'm going to make somebody mad. I'm good at that. I don't eat at the feedlot downtown. I hear they've got really good food. But I don't go there. Why? Because there's a liquor store on both sides. And then when you see my vehicle there, you're not going to go, hey, Brother Isaac's there for the pork rinds. Somebody brought some pork rinds somewhere one time, and they were really good. And I would like more of them. But I can't get them because I won't go buy them. Some of you are like, I'll go. Just give me the money, Brother Isaac. I'll go pick it up. Is it wrong to go to the feedlot? Is it wrong to eat from the grill there? No, but I don't want anybody to think I was at the liquor store. I'll tell you how far I go. I'm doing good making everybody mad so far. I don't buy gasoline at the casino in Roland because I'm scared that after I fill up and I'm pulling out of their parking lot, one of you will drive by. And you're not going to go, oh, he was just getting gas. He was at the Subway. No, you're going to go, Brother Isaac was coming out of the casino. All the things he said about the casino, and he was at the casino, I can't believe it. And I don't want to even look like I was at the casino. I hate that place. I hate the sin that goes on there. I hate the lives that are run because of that sin, that covetousness, that love of money. I hate the liquor store. Amen. I hate alcohol. I hate the lives that it's destroyed, the children's lives that has been ruined. I hate it. And I don't want anybody to even think I had anything to do with those places. Amen. You say, well, that's awfully narrow-minded, preacher. That's awfully holier than thou. No, I hate sin. I hate how it destroys lives. This is not about hating people or hating the people at the casino or hating people at the liquor store. This is about loving people. Amen. Don't even do the things that look bad. God sanctify you holy to the uttermost and preserve you blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. Friends, we've got to strive to be sanctified holy. You cannot keep one part of your being from being, you can't keep it from being affected by everything else. What you put in your mind is going to affect your heart. It's going to affect your body. What you do with your body is going to affect your spirit. It's going to affect your mind. It's all connected. We don't get to divide it up somehow. God made us one being, and we have separate parts, but we're one. And if you think that you could commit sin with your body, it's not going to affect your spirit, you're crazy. If you think you can watch filth on the internet or on TV or at the movies and it's not going to affect your mind and your heart and your body, you're crazy. I'm here to tell you it affects everything. Romans 1:24 says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever." Amen. He's talking about these people who rejected God. God gave them over to their wickedness. And what happened? Their sin affected their body. They dishonored their body with their sin. Do you see it? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 verses 11 through 14 says this. By the way, I call out those verses so you can write them down. You can look them up later. Because I don't want you to take my word for it. Take his word for it. Romans 6:11, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." It's up to you. You can yield your life, your body, to sin, or you can yield your body to obedience to Christ. But it's up to you. That lust is in us. We still have a carnal mind and a carnal flesh. That desire to do wrong is still there, but we've got to make up our minds what we're going to do. But you don't have to sin. You don't have to go there. You don't have to watch that. You don't have to hang out with those people. You don't have to drink that. You don't have to smoke that. You don't have to listen to that. Listen, it doesn't matter. You name it. You don't have to go there. You don't have to do that. You don't have to look at that. You have a choice with what to do with your body. And you have no excuse. And I have no excuse. Because God has done everything and He makes a way for us to escape. And when we sin against God, we always do it willfully. People say, "Well, I did it, but I didn't do it on purpose." You can say that to me, you can say that to everybody you want to today, but I'm here to tell you one day you're going to kneel before the Lord and that's not going to fly. Amen. Romans 12, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do you see how every part of your being is right there? He's talking about your mind. He's talking about your body. He's talking about your spirit. It all works together. And we're not going to be healthy physically if we're not healthy spiritually. A lot of body shaming going on in the world today. And I think it's interesting how our culture and how cultural shifts go. Some of you are unaware about these things, so let me enlighten you. Some girl will take a picture of herself in her bikini and she's in really great shape, but she puts it out there for the whole world to see, and then everybody's mad about that. And then some girl who's not such great shape takes a picture of herself in her bikini and puts it out there and all this stuff. Can I help you out? Don't take a picture of yourself in your underwear. How about that? How about we just start with don't be naked in front of other people? Amen. Body shaming, not body shaming, I don't care. Put your clothes on. Amen. And then let's get to the real issue. A lot of people are in great shape today and it has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with their pride. They eat right, they exercise, they kill themselves to be in great shape, and they are in great shape physically, but their mind and their spirit are sick. Their motivations are all wrong. You say, I'd rather be in shape physically and have my heart and mind wrong. I want to look good when I take my selfie in the mirror at the gym. That's all right. You have that choice. You have that right. But I'm telling you, one day, you're not going to be standing in front of a mirror. You're going to be kneeling before the Lord. And if you're right, if you're not right spiritually with God, you're in trouble. Some of y'all liked that part, didn't you? Amen. Preach it. But guess what? One of these days, you're here today, you're trying to have a right heart, you're trying to have a right spirit. Why else would you be at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church on a Sunday morning? I want to have a right heart with God. I want to live for Him. I want to learn His truth. I want to lead my family in the right way. So your heart, your mind are moving in the right direction, but you're not taking care of yourself physically. Your health is not good. You don't eat right. You don't exercise. You're not taking care of the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And one day, you and I will kneel before God and praise God. Our heart was right. Our spirit was right. And no doubt that's the most important. But we're still going to have to give an account for how we didn't take care of our body. It very well may be the fact that a lot of us in this room today are going to kneel before God too early, because we didn't take care of our bodies. I want to be in shape mentally, spiritually, and physically. But do I really want to? What would you say about somebody that says, I really want to be right with God, but they never come to church? Man, I really want to be right with God. I just can't get myself to church. Would you believe them? I really, really want to have a right walk with God, but they never pray. I really, really, really want to be right with God, but they never read their Bible. Would you believe them? They never sing a song of praise to God. They never open His book. They never talk to Him. And yet they keep saying, I really want to be right with God. I wouldn't believe them. I've lied to myself and thought I want to be right with God, but I wasn't praying and studying and doing those things. Did you know the same thing applies physically? Because for years I've said, I really want to be in shape. If I told you I really, really want to be in shape, but I don't eat right, would you believe me? Keep eating donuts all the time and drinking soda pops, eating chocolate-covered Twinkies? Would you believe me? What if I said, I really, really want to be in shape, but I never exercise? Do you see my point? Here's the deal. How many of you were in better shape in high school than you are now? Just raise your hands. A few years ago, we found some pictures in the attic, and stop. But it was senior years. It was actually graduation night. We graduated, and a bunch of us went to the lake. Went swimming. We were not partying and drinking, doing all that stuff. We had a good time. I mean, we had like cake and Pepsi, stuff like that. Okay. It was good. And I don't go out in public with my shirt off anymore. Even when we go swimming, I wear a shirt. That's for everybody else's benefit as much as mine. But back when I was in shape and I was a high school kid and I graduated high school, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I was surprised, because in the picture when I first saw it, I was like, who was that? And I looked, I was like, oh, that was me. Wow. It wasn't awful. And I thought for a second, you know, I might leave my shirt off if I still look like that. But I wouldn't. I wouldn't mind looking good with my shirt off. But that's not why I want to be in shape physically. Because at the end of the day, I really don't care what anybody else thinks. I care a little bit what my wife thinks. A little bit. But I do care about what God thinks. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, it's a rough message when you're preaching too long and it's time for lunch. People's stomachs are starting to growl. Who else skipped breakfast this morning? Yeah, me too. Feeling it right now. But you know what? When we sit down to eat, most of us eat everything we want to eat and more than we should. Can I just give you a few practical things real quick? Some of you take notes, and I'd like to give you a few things to write down real quick, and then I'm going to stop. We need to maintain a healthy lifestyle for the glory of God. We need to learn to eat to live. We don't need to live to eat. You heard that before? That's good advice. Most of us live to eat. It's not hard to figure out because it's the conversation all of us have. What are we doing for lunch? What are we for doing? What did you have for lunch? Was it good? When you go to a new place and you're visiting, you want to find out where's the best place to eat. I mean, we are so focused on food in America today, it's no surprise that we have the health problems we have. And so we've got to learn to eat to live. I mean, when Daniel and the other captives were in Babylon, he said, we would not defile ourselves with a portion of the king's meat. He wanted to eat some pulp. I mean, he had a very, very simple diet, and it was very vegetable-rich, fiber-rich diet, and it was very simple, and they ate that, and they drank water. I'm sure it wasn't delicious. But he wasn't worried about eating something that tasted good. I promise you the king's meat and wine was good. But he was concerned about honoring God with what he ate. We need to get to that. Don't be gluttonous. Don't eat to excess. I think it's awesome that Proverbs warns us against dainties. I'm not sure exactly what dainties were in Solomon's day, but when I read that, I think of Little Debbie's. You guys, I've been around here long enough. You guys know how much I love Little Debbie's. I've tried over the past several months to stay away from them, and I've tried really hard. When I see Little Debbie, I try to picture that meme of Big Deborah. Have you guys seen it? It's been helpful to me. That's reality. Does that mean you can't ever eat something good, eat a steak? Does it mean you can't ever have a chocodile? That's what the chocolate-covered Twinkies are, in case you want to find some later. No, but we need to be careful. Don't eat to excess. Don't be gluttonous. Don't be excessive with anything. Be wise. Have moderation. It takes self-control, which is called temperance. We ought to exercise for health, but more importantly, we ought to exercise for self-control. I just got a quick poll. I know I'm taking too long, but this is fun. How many of you have exercise equipment at your house? Put your hand up. Keep it up. How many of you have clothes hanging on your exercise equipment? Okay, just checking. I would love to have today. I would love to have. I'm going to throw mom and dad under the bus. I would love to have today the money my mom and dad spent on exercise. Well, okay. The money my dad spent on exercise equipment. I mean, I just think back over the years. He had the Nordic track. Anybody remember those? I mean, I wish I could remember. I wish I had the money he spent on all that stuff over the years. And it was awesome because he would get it and use it for a little while, and we would play on it, the kids, we would play on it, and then pretty soon it would have laundry hanging on it. I want to tell you why exercise is beneficial. Not besides the fact that it does cool things for your heart health, and it burns fat, and it'll help you live longer, and all those good real physical benefits. But it teaches you self-control. And one of the hardest things for us to do is to eat right and exercise. But I've been amazed by this. If you can make yourself eat right and exercise, you can make yourself read your Bible when you don't want to. You can make yourself pray when you don't want to. You can make yourself get up and go to church when you don't feel like it. It'll change every aspect of your life because it's all connected. Now, I challenge you to eat right and to exercise. Now, some of you guys need to remember that you're not in the shape you were when you graduated high school. Because some of you guys, you go a few years without exercise and you think you can jump right back in to where you used to be. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to end with you on the ground puking. Do you know how I know? It's a lesson I've learned over and over and over. Exercise, but do it for not just for health, but also for self-control, temperance. And we need to maintain God-given priorities. The first thing we need to do is walk with God. Listen, you may be in Olympic shape, but if you don't have a right walk with God, what benefit is it? You see, the Bible tells us that bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness, it will benefit you now, it profiteth now and in the life to come. You know what that literally means? Bodily exercise profits, it's good for a little while. It is good. That doesn't mean it's not good. It is good. But our walk with God is far more important. Because it doesn't just benefit us now, it benefits us forever. We ought to have God-given priorities for right health. You ought to walk with God, and you ought to care for your family. Did you know that people, men and women both, who don't care for their family are not physically well? Because they're not mentally and spiritually well. We ought to worship and serve the Lord in the church. And we ought to manage our time better, for better health. How many of you would say that you experience stress? How many of you would say that you have health-related problems because of your stress? Okay? That's a reality in our world today. I want to tell you about one more thing. We're going to go ahead and get ready for an invitation. I want to tell you about one more thing. We're talking about our physical health. It's called margin. Margin is the space between our load and our limits. Do you know why most of you are stressed out? Because you're doing more in a day than God intended you to do. You're living outside of your God-given priorities. God has given you a certain set of priorities that you need to keep. To walk with God and to love and lead your family and to provide for your own and to serve Him in the church. But we put in all these other peripherals that God didn't intend for us to carry. And that's why we're stressed out. We're doing more than we can possibly do in a day. And we're doing more than God ever wanted us to do in a day. And here's the reason why. Because we often never get on our knees every day and say, God, you've given me this day. You've given me this life. You've given me this health. Help me to do what you want me to do with my day. I'm going to teach you a very important word that will help you with your margin. You ready? The word is no. Opportunity does not mean obligation. And it's easy, somebody said this, it's easy to say no when there's a greater yes burning inside. You see, when I've spent time on my face before God every day and I'm trying to give my day to the Lord and I'm stewarding my life for the Lord and I know what the priorities He has for me are, it's easy for me to say no to things that don't line up with those priorities. Maybe it's intriguing. Maybe it sounds fun. Maybe whatever it is, but it's not going to help me accomplish what God wants me to. It's easier for me to say no. I had an opportunity just this past week to help a family member, and it was something that was going to be a long-term time commitment for me, an investment for me, and I had to pray about it and struggle with it, and I had to tell him, no, I can't do that. I really want to help you out, but I can't do that. That's not easy for me to do, by the way. I'm learning to say no. Some of you may ask me to do something sometime, and I may really want to help you, but I may have to tell you no because it doesn't line up with what I've got to do for God right now. We've got to have margins. We've got to have time for rest. God created us to need rest. And we've got to have that rest. I just know this. God has given us our health, and we need to steward it for Him. We're limited on what we can do. You can't keep yourself from getting cancer. You can't keep yourself from getting a lot of things, but there are a lot of things that we do have control over. And we need to learn to steward our health for the glory of God. This morning, let's stand together. We're going to sing a song. Page 5.